was watching yet again another mass murder down in Florida and assumed that this would be a story that, like all the other mass murders of schools and with assault-styled weapons, would be a story for maybe a week or 10 days and then fall off the news cycle. What happened is 17-year-olds started saying, adults had failed us and enough is enough. And I couldn't sit back and watch as somebody who has been involved in social justice and anti-war activism for the past 3-4 years and not get into this race. I got into this race, number one, to ban assault weapons because the other two running for office were not making strong statements about how important that is, nor was most of the governor candidates doing that. And that was just about 34 days ago. Now all the candidates are saying that they want to ban assault weapons.
So when you ran for U.S. Senate in 2016, it was with the Green Party. What made you decide to be running with the Democrats in this race?
Since the time I was 18 and I'm now 58, I have been a registered Democrat. And the reason I joined the Green Party was because I wanted to run against Michael Bennett. And I had the choice to run against him as a Democrat and try to go through the assembly or to run as an outside party. I jumped back in last summer back into the Democratic Party to rejoin and work inside the party to fight against the establishment and the neoliberals inside of the Democratic Party and talk about what's important to the people, not to the corporations.
And you mentioned that now Diane Mitch Bush and Carl Hanlon are coming out against assault weapons. In what other ways do you feel you differ from these candidates?
I've lived in District 3 for 25 years. I've been back and forth to Washington, D.C. since 2001. I've met 3 presidents. I've met dozens of U.S. senators. I have campaigned on statewide initiatives such as Referendum A, which was going to steal West Slope water, and fought and won against that. I'm the most experienced out of the 3 candidates because I've worked in a for-profit sector when I ran and managed homeowners associations and property manager, 21-plus years of running a national nonprofit, and 8 years as an elected official. I'm an actual progressive candidate, a person who wants to fight the corporations, wants to fight the special interests. When you look at Diane and Carl's platforms, I can't distinguish the difference between the two other than one's a white guy and the other's a white woman. I'm somebody who's saying that enough is enough. Stop running to the middle. Stop trying to be right of center and losing. Let's stand on principles. This is the first election primary where independent voters will be able to vote. And I have been able to inspire and galvanize the youth vote and independent votes who are sick and tired of these duopolist type of candidates.
Do you feel that there are enough progressives in the 3rd District to win that seat on a progressive campaign?
I come in to talk common sense, and I've been out there for almost a month now, and I've talked to thousands of people who are disenfranchised voters, Democrats, and what I'm hearing is that thankfully there's somebody who will just speak truth to power. This is an off-year election where you'll have a very low turnout in general. So it's not just the progressive voice that I believe that I could bring out, but I'm probably the most fiscally conservative out of even Scott Tipton. I have worked for banks and savings and loans. I have watched what these legislators have done in order to work for the big banks. I'm the only one who could talk about a military budget that continues to increase by leaps and bounds. It's now at $700 billion. We could cut that military budget in half and have savings that could come back home for either the taxpayers or for schools, for early childhood development, for free health care, for free college. These are other issues that I've been standing up for that the other candidates aren't.
You are running on people matter more than profits. Could you just give us a little bit of explanation? What do you mean by that statement?
I've been a social justice activist nearly my whole life, when I started a charity to now. This is the time for activists. I was up at Standing Rock. I've been in Black Lives Matter laydowns. I have been arrested in Washington, D.C. to try to stop the repeal of Obamacare and to stop endless wars. That is not what I do for a living, getting arrested. What I do for a living is try to educate people about what is important. And what is important is there's five main areas that have basically taken hold of our government. It's the oil and gas industry that has a huge effect in Colorado, which is, you know, owned by oil and gas. Frackin' Looper is our governor's nickname. You have the healthcare industry, big pharma that has bought and sold through lobbyists, our elected officials. You have the finance industry. You have big agriculture. And then you have the military-industrial complex, which is now the military-industrial and security complex, because they have been seizing almost all of our civil liberties. So when I say that it's people more than profits, there's at least four lobbyists to every single one of the House of Representatives, 435, and the 100 senators, that they're listening to lobbyists almost all the time who are writing legislation, and they're passing legislation that doesn't affect the people. What they do is they're either deregulating or they're taking the budget and buying more things from them. Somebody's got to go in there who has been studying this for 25 years, who knows to articulate how this is, because this is exactly what I'm hearing when I go out for the past 3 years and drive around the state of Colorado and find out what people are outraged about. They don't know what to do. They feel a hopelessness. And because I have been blessed with having opportunities that I've had in my political life and also in my nonprofit life, I hope I can speak to that directly enough to get people excited to get me elected in the primary against the other two Democratic candidates, who are both wonderful people. They really are working very, very hard. But more than anything, we have to change the House of Representatives. It has to go Democratic, regardless of how bad the Democratic Party is in many ways, because we need checks and balances at the federal level. We're now in perpetual wars. We now know that we're going to exceed the 2 degrees Celsius mark of 2050 that the Paris Accord talked about. So we're going to see global warming. We live in a very white part of America, Western Colorado. It's the size of Florida. It's 29 districts. But a federal representative has to think about how to represent the voices that aren't being heard. And I have done that, and I hope for people's votes so I could do that in Congress for them.
All right. Well, Arn Menconi, candidate for U.S. Congressional District number 3, thank you for joining KDNK.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.